Nancy and I have a great life, and we volunteered for 8 years of service for the state of Montana. I'm a private businessman. I came from private business, and I've moved on with my life. In January, as many of you recall, we stepped in, a group of us, and we were concerned about the way the largest publicly traded company in Montana was being run, the Stillwater Mine. They had thrown huge sums, hundreds of millions of dollars into Argentina, which really had no practical capability of recouping the investment. And I was concerned that those jobs would be lost. And so we launched a hostile takeover, and now I'm chairman of the board of the Stillwater Mine. And, you know, there's 1,650 of some of the highest-paying jobs in Montana. There's a lot of families that depend on the management getting it right at Stillwater Mine. And so, you know, it's another chapter in my life, and we've moved beyond that. We live at Georgetown when we're not living at our ranch at Hope Creek. And we've got three wonderful children and great dogs and a good life, and we wish the body politic the best of luck in the future. But I've said for some time that I didn't think I would fit in Washington, D.C. I don't like the kind of clothes they have to wear. I don't like traffic. I don't like the weather. And I really don't like it that it's a town that seems to be run by the corporate interests and the lobbyists. And unfortunately, the people who do get elected, they spend most of their time on the phone trying to raise enough money to get reelected. And if your primary concern is about getting reelected or elected, and the money all comes from the special interests, you can imagine what the results are going to be. And I just didn't really want to be part of that.
Governor, you did run, though, for the U.S. Senate in 2000. What had changed for you between then and now?
Well, I think I've gotten a little smarter, and I've put in my 8 years. It was a wonderful job being governor of Montana. The best thing that ever happened to me was losing that election. Hopefully, I would have had the wherewithal to have gotten out of that stinkhole after one term or so. But, you know, I talked to some very good friends of mine who were former governors, and they would call me and try and recruit me to run, but then they'd have to be honest with me. They say, "Well, Brian, we don't even like it here. You can't actually make big changes." A lot of these people who've been here now for decades, they're not even sure why they came here. And unfortunately, once you get here, then you have responsibilities. Oh yeah, it's to your country and to your state, but you've got some 50 or 100 people working for you, and they all have families to raise, and they're all your friends. You pick them to work for you, and gosh, and when it comes time for re-election and you say, "Oh, I think I want to go back to, you know, pick the state," you know, all the people around you say, "Oh gosh, you can't do it. Please, please." And then you have all of your political supporters and people that trust you and believe that you're doing a better job than someone else would do. They all go after you. And I got plenty of those calls. And as you know, there was a draft Brian Schweitzer movement. And I told people, look, when I got out of high school, I had a draft number. Fortunately, it was something like 305. So the likelihood of me getting drafted then was very little, and it's less now. So we're very happy with the non-decision we made, really. We didn't decide to run for the United States Senate. There were a lot of other people making that decision, and we continued to say no. And, you know, I've definitively said, no, we're not running for the United States Senate. Nancy and I have a life to live, and I want to live my life in Montana. I'm 57 years old, and I did a little math on the back of an envelope. Probably I got another good 20 years where I can ski and hike and snowmobile and fix fence on my own and hunt and fish. And who knows? You know, life is uncertain, and let's hope I get 20 more years. And if I ran for the U.S. Senate, well, there's a year and a half running, and you'd be on a plane all over the country raising money. And then there'd be 6 years living in Washington, D.C. That's effectively one-third of the good years I've got left for hiking and camping and fishing and hunting. And I like our life, and we love Montana. We love the people of Montana. I don't like traffic. I go to other places, and I get on those roads, and I just look at those people and wonder how they can live this way.
Governor, let me run by you some of the rumors that have come out about why you aren't running. As you know, when people make decisions like this, the rumor mill...
Let's shut you off right there. When people make decisions, I never made a decision to run for the United States Senate, so there was no decision not to make. This is all yammering. I have been governor for the last 8 years, and every activity that I've had, for the first time in the history of Montana, you had a governor who every single day posted his schedule for the day in advance. The reporters were able to ask me any question, anytime, anywhere. My door was always open, unlike all governors previous to me. I didn't even have a key to my door, and whatever meetings I had, the reporters wandered in and wandered out. When I ran for governor, I said I will be the most transparent governor in history, and every year when we did our taxes and we figured it all up, and then we'd give one copy to the IRS and we gave one copy to all the members of the press. We've been very transparent, and I'm the first governor in recent history who ran for office without taking any political action committee money. And we lived our life in a bubble, and we are no longer in a bubble. We're private citizens, and we're moving on.
Well, let me just run through some of the yammering, okay? And one of the yammers about your non-decision is that you were not going to get enough support from Senators Baucus and Tester.
Well, I don't know anything about that. Somebody has said that as well. But look, I don't know. I know that they're both voters in Montana, and they hopefully I could have convinced them to vote for me just like anybody else. But there isn't the support that you need from any particular politician. When I ran for governor, I'll bet you everybody that had been elected for office in Montana didn't vote for me. All the insiders and Helena, they all looked at each other and said, who the heck is this farmer? Why would he think he could be governor of Montana? Why, I've been elected for, you know, whatever, fill in the blank numbers of terms. I've been on X committee. I know all the lobbyists. Boy, I know everything about the government. What would some farmer from Whitefish know? And so I didn't let it worry me then. And if the insiders, if they were concerned, because I tell it straight, look, oftentimes Republicans disagree with some of the ideas I've had, and I've had Democrats who disagree with some of the ideas I've got. And so, it's a dysfunctional system back there, and I just wasn't interested in being part of it.
Given your aversion to that system and to Washington, D.C., Governor, I assume that rules out any future presidential run? The president obviously has to live in D.C.
I've got a couple of years to think about that. I just know that being part of a legislative body that their primary purpose is to get reelected wasn't for me. I kind of like the system of having term limits. I like it that a chief executive you do your level best, you serve for two terms, and you're not inhibited by having to raise money and continue to curry a favor with special interests forever and a day. I like it that there's term limits for chief executives. I like it that I was able to serve just two terms. You've only got a certain amount of time to accomplish as much as you can for the people of Montana and then get out. I like that system.
Governor, there have been, as you know, recent stories in Politico and in the Great Falls Tribune questioning your ties to two possible dark money groups.
Yeah, this is silly. I read the whole article, and what the article said is Brian Schweitzer was governor of Montana, and some people who have been donors of Brian Schweitzer's are also donors of a lot of other political groups and candidates all over the country. They also went on to say that some of these people who have been political donors of mine that I know, that they have formed a committee, and that that committee didn't do any politics in Montana. That's what's been reported.
But Governor, it's also been reported, and the two groups we're talking about is one called a Council for Sustainable America and the other American Sustainability Project, did have close ties to you. Some of these people are your friends, some have donated to your campaigns, and there's no evidence of what these groups actually did. That's also in those articles.
Yeah, and also in those articles, there's no evidence that they spent any money in politics in Montana. So
did they, to your knowledge?
And furthermore, these groups were formed after I was reelected governor. I was already term limited. I wasn't running for anything when these groups were formed. And I suppose if you were to look at contributions of people all over the country, some people give money to the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee. They give money to people that are running for the Senate. They give money to people in the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. They give money to Emily's List. They give money to conservative and liberal groups all over the country. But there's no evidence that this group, I don't have any evidence, and nor have I seen any evidence, nor has anybody presented any evidence, that this group, which apparently is involved in raising some money, has spent any money on politics in Montana.
But what do you think?
Furthermore, let's make it very clear. As I read it in the Great Falls Tribune, these groups weren't even formed until after I was elected to the last office that I was running for.
But, Governor, what do you think of these groups? Because they clearly aren't what they say they are. They're fronts, aren't they, for political fundraising? And shouldn't they be upfront about that? I mean, that's the whole complaint about Citizens United and so on.
I don't know that anybody's found that this group, according to the Great Falls Tribune article, has spent any money on politics in Montana. So,
but that wasn't my question. My question is what you think of these groups per se.
Well, I can't say anything about this group because I don't even know what they spent their money on. So, I believe that we ought to have a system so that we don't need big money for people to get elected and reelected. I think we ought to have a publicly funded system like they have in a lot of other countries and they have in Arizona, for example, where you as a candidate, you need to raise money from X number of people, small contributions to demonstrate that you have a wide ring of support. And then if you raise a certain amount, then there's matching funds that come from the government. And those matching funds would be used for advertising on the airwaves, which the government owns already. And then we wouldn't need tens of millions of dollars. You wouldn't need a $1 billion presidential election or $30 or $50 million for a Senate race in Montana.
One final question for you, Governor, or actually two. One, you're not going to change your mind, I assume. And two, is there a Democrat you personally would like to see get in the Senate race?
Oh, I think that there's a lot of good people in Montana, and we'll be well represented by whoever the people of Montana chooses, and no, I'm not changing my mind. Thank you.
Governor, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
All the best. Bye.